And Love we are Talk back. Radio.
Can you hear me now?
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant, and I still loving you. I'm looking down.
That means we're live. this is Rack and Tour. And so tonight is Off the Rack, brought to you by Team of Voices, which is a community on allpoetry.com. You could find us there. It's free to join. And that was The Words You Cannot Say, written by our very own Jay Hatter. The music was composed by Shout Even Shy and sung by her, too, I believe. Doesn't sound like Hatter. And I've got Pretty Bird on the line.
Hello, hello. And we have company. Let's say hello to Jay Hatter and Miss Deborah Lee. Hey, guys, how you doing?
Okay. How are you?
I am good now that it let me back in.
I know, really. I'm so sorry about that. I must have missed
That's
it when
right.
I initially made the episode.
Well, at least we're back. That's all that counts. We're good. I appreciate you going through and fixing all that.
All we did was lose a little rambling about darkness. That's all. I'm sure I'll repeat myself many times before the night's over anyway. So you'll get tired of it before you even...
Yeah. I was going to say, you have plenty of time to ramble on, pun intended.
Led Zeppelin. Ramble on. No.
We have that song.
I'm sure you do. That's one of the greatest hits, I think. But anyway, how you doing, Hatter?
Well, I'm fine.
You didn't bring any frogs with you, did you? I think Deb brought a frog with her.
No frogs.
Yeah.
I'm talking softly and hide it. Don't make me laugh.
Oh, well, you called the wrong show then, because I'm a smartass.
OMG.
Yeah, well, you know, so people take it's a point of pride if you can get someone to do a spit take, or you know, if when they don't want to, any of those things are like, you know. But anyway, so tonight was the thought was in the dark. What do you see when you look into the darkness, I guess. You know, the idea of the English language and its fickleness and beauty. I don't know, however you want to perceive it. It's one of those things that hypocrisy. Yeah. No politics. No, we can't talk about Congress. So yeah. Now there's a dark topic. the idea of darkness is something that always appeals to me, and it's also something that I'm personally going through. I'm losing my eyesight, so I want to apologize ahead of time to anyone that wrote for the show. I will give, you know, written comments and everything, but normally I feel it's polite to give a written comment, but I'm not able to like I used to. So if I don't, I'm sorry, and I apologize in advance. But if anyone hears anything that they enjoy on the show, please leave a written comment for the authors and let them know that you enjoyed their work. And, you know, thanks in advance again for everyone that wrote for tonight. We're going to have some fun discussing the darkness, whether it be emotional darkness or actual literal darkness. That's what I was talking about when I mentioned the beauty. And now I'm like in this circle of nonsense back and forth trying to say what I said because I said it. And I'm going to say it. Anyway, yeah. So darkness, there's that physical darkness, which sometimes leads you to question what your eyes see and what you hear and what you know to be there. You know, familiar spaces, you know, common ground and things, you know, that you've gone over. It's just one of those things that, you know something's there, but your eyes may not perceive it in the dark. You know, do you believe your eyes at that point, or do you like, you know, I know it's there, so, you know it's there. It's something that's I guess kind of hits home to me, resonates as it were. And by the way, say again, Hatter?
The hour before dawn and the hour after sunset is considered the mystic hours of the time of day. That's when you're supposed to be able to move to the hereafter and back into the present, because that's when the shadows start moving. Like you said, things start moving around.
Yeah, I mean, when you fold shadows into the idea of darkness, like you just mentioned, that adds a whole new dimension to it too. It brings in the supernatural, and that's a whole new world of topic to touch on, I guess. Are you guys in a rush? I forgot to ask you, Deb. I'm sorry.
I would love to stay, but I really can't. I just want to show up for you.
Oh,
a little
well,
bit
that, thank you. If you want to jump right into it, then you know, I've got all night to ramble like you meant. Well, all night, 2 hours. Team of Voices is generous, but they're not magical. I appreciate it, Deb. Thank you for coming. We'll throw you up on the board first then and jump right into it.
You are on the board, Deb, whenever you're ready.
She's got me. Yeah, I was going to say Pretty Bird's got you. She's got me on the board. But before I read, though, I just, you know how sometimes you sit there at night and weird sounds will freak you out, and then the next day you realize what the sound was. I have a fascination with the things that scare the hell out of you as soon as you get dark, but don't seem to bother you one little bit during daylight. And I just wondered how many times, you know, we scare ourselves because our gut's saying something's wrong, or it's not.
I had a incident actually happen. We were having some work done on the house a long time ago, actually, and I ended up calling the cops because I thought there was someone in the house. And before they dispatched anyone or anything, when they got there, I realized that it was walking around upstairs was like, you know, there was loose plaster or whatever that was falling and making noises below me. So I realized what it was before they got there and you know, started, you know, looking for intruders. But, you know, like you say, that those noises, you can't see what's going on, really kind of send your mind racing in a million different directions, because, you know, you want to define what you hear and put it in the realms of understanding, I guess. It's just one of those things. And you know, I had mentioned, well, I kind of, the idea of the eyes is really amazing when it comes to things like that, because if you look at an incomplete image sometimes, if it's familiar to your eye, it kind of fills it in without, you know, without having to see it, without it really being there. And there are times when you look at something that's incomplete, but see it as complete because it looks familiar to you. I've had that happen plenty of times to me before I even ever had problems with my eyes. You know, you could play little games and things like that. Really kind of fascinating, amazing.
Yeah, you can write the whole paragraphs with, I think it's the first two letters correct of a word and the last letter correct, and all the rest are wrong, and you'll still be able to read it.
That's true.
Yeah.
I was going to say something similar. How do, if you take a paragraph and remove all the vowels, some people, I'm one of them, can still read it as if the vowels were there. That fascinates me too. It's a trick of the eye. But as you said, you get familiar with it. And then when you go to read it, you don't even realize that the vowels aren't there because you're so used to seeing them that way, like those pictures. So darkness is fascinating. You go so many ways with the topic, like you said, and never cover two things twice.
Yeah. And if you have a high-fiber diet, you know, you usually have a good vowel movement.
OMG.
I'm sorry, you warned me about making you laugh. I shouldn't have said that. I'm sorry.
Well, no, I like that you're funny. I'm sorry.
No. It's my fault. Like I said, I apologize. I confess, I am a smartass.
No.
I can't help myself sometimes.
Yes, what are you, charm? Don't ever change. Okay. Maybe I better read that. All right. This is a Pantone number 75, and it's called My Gut Says Scream, But No Sounds Escape My Lips. With two eyelids down, lashes brush my skin, as eyeballs scan for review without the light. Silent scream, send the nightmare slip in. Legs kick, wrestling the sheets for the fight. As eyeballs scan for view without the light, shadows role play on lobes inside the brain. Legs kick, wrestling the sheets from the fight, and pulse taps like a tin loose hit with rain. Shadows role play on lobes of the brain that drain me of every color of blood red, and pulse taps like tin loose hit with rain. Parading the death march inside his head that drained me of every color but blood red. Silent screams and the nightmare slip in, parading the death march inside his head. With two eyelids down, lashes brush my skin and pull.
Wow. I like the repeating line in this, you know, when you're talking about the darkness, because there is that sense of familiarity that when you see something and then you look back and you see it again, you know, you really, even if the lighting changes or if it moves, you still think you see it where you saw it, or there's that illusion that happens sometimes in the shadows, in the darkness. And, you know, the whole idea of, you know, the silent scream, you know, not to necessarily trust your eyes and the noise distracting you. I really like this dub. This was nice and perfect for tonight, and for the idea of, you know, the darkness. Let me get you a couple of comments. Pretty Bird, can you?
Absolutely. My lips never stop flapping. I gravitated towards that line too. The silent screams and the nightmares slip in, because, I mean, even if you just turn off your light switch, all of a sudden the air changes. The sound is carried different. The temperature feels like it drops just a hair, and every little thing resonates differently. But the grand thing of noise tends to just be muted. And in that space, every other sound that you hear is those nightmares. It's always worst case scenario. That's that whole, you know, fight or flight. And, you know, so you have to decide, because, you know, usually in darkness people want to go to sleep, but if there's some creepy stuff happening, you can't really sleep because you got to make sure that it's not going to get you. And so it's a very, that one line alone is just this giant wraparound image of past experience, which I thought was really, really neat, because it filled that space so well. And the roof, the pulse it taps, like tin roofs hit with the rain, which is my favorite sound, and probably the most soothing thing ever for me is rain on a tin roof. However, there is nothing like that darkness and tachycardia to give you those Edgar Allan Poe telltale heart vibes that always freaked me out as a kid. So I absolutely love that, because my mind went right there. Because, you know, my mom in that rain used to like read us in semi-darkness all kinds of scary poetry, mostly Poe, but she would pick up some creepy stuff. So, you know, she wasn't twisted. We're fine. We grew up perfectly normal. It's okay. But I absolutely love that it was just so vivid in that darkness.
You know, the idea of darkness too, that's, I guess, misleading. You know, you talk about seeing. It's really more perceiving than seeing, and your perception changes without the light. You know, you go from auditory to visual, and visual to audio rather. You know, it almost feels like you're seeing things. Not that that aren't there, but you're seeing things that were there that you just weren't perceiving before, in some cases, and that's the thing to kind of touch on with this, I thought. Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, everything is going to get more acute. Your other senses, you know, when you start, one starts fading away. This, Deborah, this is one of your best, I think, when on the list. Who would have thought? You did that's a difficult rhyme pattern too, ABAB.
Yeah.
Almost a long line rhyme, which I love. This is really, I said it's the whole enchilada, man.
Oh, now I'm hungry.
Thank you, honey. I know, right? I'm just thinking, But on a side note, when I put silent screams in there, it's usually when I write something involving nightmares, because in my worst nightmares, I scream and there's no
and
sound.
And comes out.
And
it
creeps me out. It's another thing that changes my contemplation of what's going on around me in the dark. And you can
and
really picture from your own mind if you let me.
Sometimes in the darkness, it feels like it's absorbing the sound as well. That's why you can't hear it. You know, the darkness is eating what's coming out of your mouth. You know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's
there,
a vision right there.
There is a difference. When I was up in the mountains, on the when the moon was full and there was no clouds, the shadows got darker and more black. Right. I would stand up there with a full moon. The moonlight would lighten up a driveway that dropped off about four or five feet down to another level, then down some stairs to another level, all the way down to the lake. I could stand there. It was a small miniature grapefruit tree that I could stand under in the shadows when the moon lit up the ground around me like it was daytime. The deer would run by. I mean, they would run where I could reach out and touch them, and they didn't know I was there. And there was one that we called Annie would stop halfway across that patio and turn around and look at me. It's like, and I wouldn't move. Nobody else saw me, but she knew I was there, but they couldn't see me. It was when, like you said, the sound and everything is enhanced, especially with the full moon and the shadows of the trees. It's the most bizarre darkness.
Yeah.
Trick it off, brain. All right, well, I'm going to do a very cool topic. Sorry again about the mess up at the beginning, but have an amazing show. Appreciate you.
Thanks.
I'm so glad you can stop by and meet. It was awesome. I'm glad you're feeling a bit better.
Yeah, get some rest.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you all.
Good night, Deb. All right, that leaves the three of us.
It does.
Anyway, that took a dark turn. No, it didn't. I guess since we're into it, you might as well play mine. It wanted to come out before, but.
I will.
I posted one minute. I believe I did. Let me make sure
you
I put it in the right place.
Yeah, oh, you dropped one, Hatter.
Okay,
so you are on the board, Rock, and I am going to hit play. Just say when.
11:30.
Well, you missed that mark, so I'll hit it now.
In the Dark by Raconteur. Tomorrow seems like yesterday, absolutely no different than today, engendering a sense of futility that saps my will every time I open my eyes. Fragmented fractals form faint figurines, Vaseline visions vaguely verifiable, smudged silhouette-shaped streaks in a world of specters. Everything is shrouded in shadows, indiscernible from memories. Distance between objects become insignificant. Everything will always seem just out of reach. Uncertain if anything is able to pierce the veil of umber. Pride is now a foreign concept. Independence, a wisp of smoke. Tomorrow remains as certain as my footing in an unseen reality. It's no wonder my eyes struggle. The eyes of a ghost. Someone broken beneath notice. No different than the friend who would be so attractive if they'd just lose a few pounds. I used to think my perception was skewed, but nothing could be clearer. My eyes reflect the world as it truly is. The path I'm on, I travel in solitude. The echoes of my footsteps fading into silence. End poem.
You know, Rat, this is quite haunting. And I kind of am focused on a few things, like the tomorrow looks like yesterday. Absolutely no difference. When you start in that place, which makes everything gray and mundane, there's no sunshine in this place. And when you have that second verse, that's your three lines of alliteration, and you start with fragmented fractals, which is a fabulous concept or a pairing of words, because fractals are absolutely perfect. That's kind of the point. And so when they're fragmented, I mean, it kind of unravels at the core of both the imagery and the emotion. So that was quite brilliant. But here we are in these moments of shadow pain, where everything seems just out of reach. And it's a foreign concept, the wisp of smoke, all of this stuff. But it's this part here. It's no wonder my eyes struggle. The eyes of a ghost, someone broken beneath notice. That is a painful place to be. That experience, however metaphorical it may be, is solemn and painful and about as dark as emotion gets. And then when you bring in that next thought about no different than the friend who would be so attracted to things, which is a concept which has nothing to do with who you are in reality, just so that people, you know, don't mistake that for a truth. It's a shame. It's, you know what I mean? It's that disservice of that. It's that unfortunate perception that again is pain. And you end this with the echo of my footsteps fading into silence, and that silence is kind of a reflection of the dark that seems to envelop this whole piece. It's kind of like a fade out of a film. So it's beautifully done and so very haunting. Hatter, what are your thoughts on this piece?
Man, it just moved me. I mean, you could have put it in better words, how you don't know what's there until it starts to fade away, until you start to lose it. Man, I think the line that got me was the, in a world of specters, everything in a shrouded in shadows, indiscriminate from memories, distances between objects becoming significant, everything will always seem just out of reach. Powerful words, man.
Thanks, Hattie.
Beautifully done, my friend.
Yeah, well, it hits a little close to home for me, you know.
Yeah.
So I guess we could throw you up on the board now, Hatter, if you like.
Okay.
There you go, you are on the board.
Okay. And mine sort of got away from me, so we'll stay together. What I see in the dark. I thought it'd be known, those things that have grown in the darkness of my mind. Surprised to hear, it seems quite clear there's nothing there to find. How do I see so unwillingly the things that hide in the dark, in your dark? Sweetened in taste, it's such a waste, it's hard to tell them apart. The beasts abound, but I'm making no sounds out of the corner of my eye. The crawlers scurry as if in a hurry, counting the starless sky. Followed by grays as if something to say, returning to confuse the dawn. Allergic to light, just out of my sight, knowing they have done nothing wrong. Circled in twos, it stands behind you, and knows you cannot see. Shadowed in rows where you never go, waiting there patiently. In the dark they will wait, to 'tis no mistake, along with the dream-stealing spiders. You had no clue when offered to you, no list of things inside her. Creatures of habit, like Wonderland rabbits, some things are left undone.
That was brilliant. Let me just shut up, because it is not my show. Go ahead.
No, you don't have to edit yourself, please. Finish your thought.
Well, you know, you have this flow that does not break from beginning until the end, which is like half a verse and left and finishes with some things are left undone, and it hangs there, and it's just this perfect ending, and it doesn't have that nice round closing, which drives me nuts, but that's the perfect thing of it. So that was just absolutely brilliant. I like the little things to sky and sweet and stuff in there, which is lovely. But this is fabulous. And there's something about both the inline and end rhyme in here that makes that flow kind of soften the images. And the images in here, I thought it would be known, those things that have grown in the darkness of my mind. And when you start in that place and you go through all of these little things that hide in not just in the my mind, but in your dark, and I think there's a her in here somewhere too. I can't remember. I'm looking with the spiders. Oh yes, when offered to you, no list of things inside her. And the truth is, people don't really know themselves and all the things that freak them out. You know, that's why triggers happen, because they're an unavoidable unfortunateness. And so, if you can only know yourself so well, how well do you think you're going to know somebody else? And so, you know, you had no clue when offered to you, no list of things inside her. And I love that concept where, you know, everybody's a little bit crazy, because a little bit crazy is what normal looks like. But you don't know what faction of crazy until something triggers said crazy, and then you're like, ah, oh, dang. You know? Like, well, I already love her, gosh darn it. I guess I'll have to deal. Or, you know, conversely, you can be like, oh, nope, and be gone. So, you know, depending on the level of crazy versus your own level of crazy. So I absolutely love this. And it kind of just pulls you right along. It does. It has perfect, perfect flow. So I absolutely love this.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah.
I started losing control towards the end. I figured I better shut it down.
And in the most perfect.
That definitely was one of the beautiful ending, but you know, I have to say, when you're talking about, you know, dark corners of your mind, I don't know that you really can get out of control, because I mean that's one of those undefined spaces that you just can't find the corners, the edges, the bits and pieces that where it ends. That's one of those things. Once you start exploring, you know, how does that expression go? You don't want to know what's in my head, or, you know, the dark corners of someone's mind. It's just one of those things that, I won't say they're not meant for sharing, but you know, you got to know someone pretty well to be comfortable enough to let them peek into the dark corners of your mind, I think. And it's not an easy thing to do. So, you know, that idea, the direction you took it was wonderful. And the OCD ending that you hung on, you know, Sheldon. It's like, it's no third one. that was perfect. Way, you know, you felt like you wanted to shut it down, and that was like, you know, a great idea, a great way to, like, you know, stick it. You definitely stuck the landing, as it were. But the whole idea, you know, the rhyme and the flow was lovely. You know, the cadence, it makes it. I guess due to the subject matter, it's not quite a children's poem, but, you know, it's just one of those sing-songy kind of things that it stays with you. It was lovely, even though you were going down a dark path, as it were. And it also brings to mind the idea for me of I guess a person's nature. You know, you kind of don't know what's lurking in the dark corners of your mind. So, you know, it speaks to who a person is, and that's, I guess, where you actually find out, where you really find out what's going on. It is those things that, what was that other expression? It's not what you do when people see, it's what you do when people don't. You know, it's just what's going on in your head, you know. There's thinking that thought, and there's acting on that kind of saw it. You kind of want
to
jam that steering wheel all the way to the left, run the bastard off the road, or, yeah, I can't do that. So I think I'll just give him the finger and keep going. Oh, I enjoyed this poem very much, Hatter. Thank you.
Thank you, Zach.
Thank you for bringing that tonight. And since you mentioned Sky and Sweet, I'll let you pick because they both wrote. So pick who goes next.
Well, Sweet, when she is done at the stock, watching cowboy butts and tight jeans, she's going to try to make it during the last hour. So I will wait just in case she sneaks in so I can put Sky up. Okay. Find where I am.
Just so our listeners know, any poems that are read, we have expressed written permission from all the people we're playing their stuff. So if you're going to have your shows read on the radio, we do have written permission on file for everyone, everything that you're hearing.
And are you ready?
I'm never ready.
Into the Dark by Sky Darkholm. There are leaves in the cobwebs, tiny vines curling like yellow nails, reaching. Paper bricks that sweat, edges folding in on themselves, like button-down collared shirts. Neatly folding in coffins. Blue mechanic cuffs, grease stains that lick with fire tongues, switchblade teeth, yellowing. And in the distance, there's a rat playing piano, chewing strings and spitting out bones. Sewer wells that mirror lakeside views. Dead bodies in the water, floating up from the dark. Hollow, like a turned up top hat, flooded with whispers. Reach in, I have found what you have lost. A jack in the box, mixing springs and a smile. Jack, who broke his back on the hills of those fading leaves. On the hill that caved in on itself, turned up grass on carnival wheels, weeds spinning, latching the heels of memory and pulling them down. Into the dark. And home.
You know, I can't help but think of you know, what I was talking about earlier as far as, you know, the darkness in your eye looking for something familiar, and knowing that Miss Holmes likes to write children's stories and things like that. I kind of want to, you know, drift towards a whole children's story gone wrong. Just every little image that you find, not so much, not necessarily comfortable, but recognizable from, you know, things that you've read as a child or heard or remember even, you know, the Jack in the Box and even the switchblade teeth, because, you know, a child's view of a demon or whatever, it fits so well in the context of this whole story that she told, that was just, you know, very dark, very dark. I mean, starting with the cobwebs, even, you know, I was a bit of a nerd growing up, and my mind goes to the whole idea of what the spiders actually do. I think cobwebs are more discarded spider webs, but you know, when they're trapping things, you know, they'll actually, like, you know, touch the web to feel for the vibrations, not necessarily do anything by sight, so that they know when something gets trapped in the web, you know, and they'll sit there and they'll wait. And that whole idea of that's something that you're not seeing, just in the periphery, sitting there waiting, it's again, fits beautifully with the story and makes it that much darker and creepier. There's a bravo. This is beautiful. And not fit for children, I guess, or at least younger children. But I really, really enjoyed it very much, Sky. And the icing on the cake for me was that I don't know if you call it a broken music box in the background, whatever it was a perfect choice for what you did. Just creepy, 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 beautiful. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed it very much, Sky. Hatter, what'd you think?
Hatter, are you muted?
Yes. Now I gotta try to say that again.
Oh, wait. We have a surprise. 1 second. Hello, my sweet. Hello?
Nope.
Hello?
Nope.
No, she's not there somewhere.
Nope.
Oh, tease me,
she
woman.
Does this to me all the time. She does this to me all the time.
Well,
I smell her perfume, but I don't.
I'm here.
I smell your perfume, but I don't see you.
We hear you now.
Hello.
Hello.
You're angry.
We are. Why?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, I was good.
Yes, we can hear you now. We are just starting to get comments on Sky, who was up on the board, and it's a dark sky. You might want to check that out.
Yeah. Any time, anywhere, any kind, any style. This is one of your best. You could just control the mood. This one, you have it. I've never heard one in such a slow cadence, and that music was just haunting. Beautifully done, I'll say.
Thank you, Hatter. And Pretty Bird, I know you got something to say.
Oh, I have many things today. Love the production. I seldom get to hear her pieces of music that she's not actually singing. So the background and the way it kind of ebbed and flowed against her words was lovely. Having said that, I don't hear much of a truly dark sky, and I am loving this, from the yellowed nail to the yellowed teeth to the slow, deliberate way she went through the words, reaching, reaching, folding, folding, dark, dark, dark. And it was very methodical, and it adds to that creepy factor. And her images, you know, with the rats playing piano, chewing strings and spinning up bones, with dead bodies in the water floating up, the dark gin. I have found what you have lost. No, thank you, because there's a dead body in that water, I know. And so I'm absolutely loving this, because there's kind of a, in the way she read this, a lull. While it's super creepy, you don't fall into it. It's not like bloody. It's just on the edge of perception until she throws a dead body at you. And so everything that she writes is like a center point, and your mind fills in this decrepit merry-go-round of colors and shadows, and it is absolutely fabulous as it latches on the heels of memory down, down into the dark, because she's just brilliant. Love her. Is anybody with me?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Boy, the silence.
Damn, this is good.
Isn't it, though?
Oh, my God.
Go ahead and comment. Oh, apparently Rack got disconnected. Bad, bad, bad studio monitor. And hello, you're back.
This is
so
crazy good.
I know, right? The sky went
bad. Oh, my God. This is like nightmares. This is like curl your toes.
Yes.
Sweat in the dark nightmares. Wow.
Sweet, did you happen to hear mine earlier?
No, I just got on the phone, my darling.
Oh, okay.
Now I'm upset I didn't hear yours. I'll have to go read it, though. I'm on my way.
Or we don't have to do it now.
Hell, I
no, we're going to sit here and wait for you to come back.
OMG.
So how was your evening, sweet?
I was drunk, but it was fabulous.
That's awesome.
I just told everybody you were looking at cowboy boots and tight jeans.
Yeah.
I was. You said, sky, you're calm. That's awesome.
So did you want to read or did you want to hang out? Or did you want to do both?
I want to do both. I have a surprise read. I don't know what it is.
Yes, I picked it for her. That's funny. I put Lockdown Larks up and he needs a reader.
I need a volunteer.
I can read.
Awesome.
I'd like that.
I like your poem, Hatter. I think that's awesome. I love how you use Sky's name. Creatures of habit like Wonderland Lab, but some things are left undone. This is great. You did wait for me to finish reading Hatter. Oh, no, I really like this. I thought it was really good. I love how you use sky in your poem. I think that's brilliant. Allergic to light, just out of sight, knowing they have done nothing wrong. Well, I know. But of course I am. Sweet and taste is such a waste. It's hard to tell them apart. Really? Really? Honey, I have a very special taste. Everybody knows how I taste. There's never hard to tell me apart, baby doll. But I guess what you wish for. Not Sunday night. I gotta remember. I'm a little drunk.
I like drunk sweet. I'm so mad. I missed Drunk Sky. I'm waiting for a repeat.
No, I like this a lot. I love, you had no clue when you offered to you no list of things inside her. That's a great line. Because you never know when you cut somebody open what might be there.
Cow park.
Especially in Wonderland. Oh, I really like this. Creatures of habit like Wonderland rabbits. Some things are left undone. I love the way you rhyme. I don't know how you do it. I want to learn how to rhyme like Hatter, and it's never ever going to happen.
We should have a Hatter Day theme one of these days where everybody picks a poem and kind of writes it in whatever style he wrote the said poem in.
That would be great. Hatter, you want a day of rhyme?
I'm sorry, what?
Do you want a day of rhyme where, like, the Hatter Day of Rhyme, where we do a show that we take one of you... Like, we have to take, you have to pick one of our poems, and we have to convert it into a Hatter rhyme.
Oh, wow.
I think that would be a great
show. What, the pizza had a rhyme.
It rhymes, like in perfect cadence.
Oh, just rhymes. Oh.
Like, it'd be a challenge, like the Hatter Day rhyme. Like, that's going to have to be one of my shows. Like, the Hatter Day
rhyme. Whiskey and rhyme.
Yeah, like I'm going to be one of my shows where it's going to be a challenge. You've got to sign up. Hatter will pick one of your poems, and you have to turn it into a rhyme. So if it's a free write, it's got to become a rhyme. Oh, my God, why did I just challenge myself to that? Hatter, we're up to that in February, the Hatter Day Rhyme Show.
Okay.
That's awesome. 11 things to look forward to.
God help me. Oh, and now I got to read.
Yes, please.
Beautiful man. All right. The Horror Show by Lockdown Larks. He's another rhymer. Horror Show. Red sky in early morn, portents of doom are sworn. First horror show of no tomorrow, sapiens too late gather in sorrow. As darkness begins to advance, the reaper practices his dance. In bygone days, butterflies dance, and the hues of early morn. Before times of the shadow advance, beauty to the eye was sworn, then had no sorrow, always there, making tomorrow. Earth takes eons creating tomorrow and lighting up biology's dance. But there is no thought of any sorrow. It's birth still in the early morn. Spinning a life of beauty sworn, but sapient populations advance. Now a technology advance, a new pathway to tomorrow, beyond the planet they have sworn. Levering the efficiency dance, but increasing this dark and morn, where is found a resource sorrow. A deepening red and black sorrow hurdles the sapiens' advance, where shadows appear in the early morn, threatening the sounds of tomorrow. Sapiens perform the extinction dance, or strains to sustain what it has sworn. Love for me may not be sworn, absent knowledge beckons sorrow. Darkness leavens the reaper's dance as the mist of time advance. No more faith in tomorrow when dust settles, not in early morn. Horrors sworn, realizations dance, only sorrows left for tomorrow. As the reaper's dance envelopes earth morn and poem.
Wow.
That was really, really cool form poetry. I don't know what form it was, but it's really cool form. And I really liked how it weaved itself in and out. And I really liked the message of how we're eventually going to literally just dance with the Reaper because we have no ability to realize what we're doing by destroying our own earth and our own species. So not only was it a great poem, great form, great rhyme. He also had a really great message, and it was really cool. So way to go, Lockdown Larks. Oh, I guess that's for that to go ahead and do the message.
I will never stop someone from commenting. No, don't apologize. Please don't. The exuberance when someone wants to comment, there's no stopping. I'm very happy that you went ahead and did that. That's fine. That's cool. I usually, try and get the first comment in, but if someone's like that excited, especially if you just finished reading it too, I'm more than happy to let you grab the mic and run with it. Sometimes, when it's fresh in your mind, you just got to get it out anyway, I really liked the poem too, Lars. The idea of that, the dance with the Reaper, there's a certain degree of darkness and death, but you almost make it sound like a hoedown, something that's not really scary to me. It's an eventuality, and time goes on, and it's going to happen at some point. But I don't know. It's just. I don't know. It wasn't that it was comforting. It was just kind of haunting. But, you know, the eventuality of it was what really just, you know, was unavoidable to me, was what struck me more than anything. I don't know what I'm trying to say. I enjoyed it very much. Save me, Pretty Bird.
Okay. First, had it dropped, so I'm not sure if he's going to call back, but just to let you know, so we're not calling on him because he's not there anymore. First of all, love the title. Second of all, I love how we are our own horror show, and this is a Sistina. Not always the easiest form to do and have it be coherent, so kudos for that. I love how we're sapient, like broken down to our lesser parts, because apparently we're doing it to our gosh darn selves, you know? Earth's horror show of no tomorrow, because we're ending it all because, you know, our mass stupidity cannot grasp, you know, the concept of a dying Earth. And I think that that is artfully and skillfully depicted. And, ooh, we have Hatter back. Hello, hello. Hi, Hatter.
I had a power.
I didn't see when you had dropped. Did you get a chance to hear all of Lockdown Lark's poems?
I did. I got most of it. Yeah, it was well done. Good depiction of extinction. I don't have it in front of me right now, but it's well done.
I fully
concur. Well, which form did you say it was? Which form did you say it was, Pretty Bird?
A Sistina.
Sistina.
Sistina, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like Sweetie said, hello, hi Sweetie, kick me under the table, why not?
I love.
Like Sweetie said, I recognized that it was a form, but I didn't know which one. It was beautiful. Anyway, now that I'm all disjointed because, you know, between Hatter dropping and Lars giving us Dancing with the Grim Reaper, kind of left me a little speechless. So let's move on to did everybody commented, right? Yeah. Were you done, Pretty Bird, or did you have more you wanted to say?
Yeah. No, I was good. He had perfect timing.
Okay,
and,
cool.
Apparently,
right, so.
Go ahead.
No, apparently what?
Apparently I'm next on the list if we're going in order.
Okay, I enjoy hearing you read.
I keep on, like, forgetting that I'm in the mix. I, like, surprise myself because I tend to be at the bottom of everything because I don't consider myself. Yeah, anyway, but and I was like, oh, look, it's me.
We'll pretend it's a recording. Don't worry.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, no, I lived that too. Ah! Good.
Ah, that's funny.
I love that laugh. That's the first thing. This is Dreams, Ghosts, and the Lore of Darkness by Pretty Bird. And it goes like this. Purity and white satin lies, burning truth into a skeptic with little girl dreams of love that left me bedraggled in the mire of reality's lament. Haunted in ghostly past, leading into today, through fissures breaching defenses, desolation pours into the chasm of hope's demise. What hope can there be when promise reeks of carrion used to feed my hungry shadows, buried brain by brain, lost to the hands of time, turning you away from me? I am unhealed and cowering in love's stead, searching for a star to carry wishes through the pitch of Erebus, but mixed sleep in the interstices of the vast ether, hiding behind the children she bore before the yin found her yang, fading too slowly not to feel each breath shorter than the last, burning in the deprivation that fades her light to black, lost in the nothing where she always believed she belonged.
You know, I had in the back of my mind when I was talking about darkness, your love of Erebus and Nyx. I was kind of hoping you were going to bring one of them tonight. This is gorgeous. Like everything that you tend to write, you know, you remind me of something that nobody really touched on about being seduced by the darkness. There's that aspect of it that can be soothing and comforting, I think. I don't know. It's I have a warped mind to begin with, so. But you know, the way that you weave your words together and talk about I just love the way you write. Let me get Sweet Pea to make a more drunken, coherent comment.
Well, first off, you write so eloquently, it really makes me want to puke sometimes. So, there's a justification there. But, oh, good Lord, that dog. Anyway, I am unhealed and cowering in love, Steve. Searching for a star to carry wishes. Oh, sorry, Amadeus. It's a little loud tonight. We've been away all night, so he has to talk. But anyway, they need to seriously not to feel each breath. You know, it's just like, I'm not sure.
Amadeus, I'm on the radio.
I don't think you care. Everybody, that's Amadeus.
I'm back.
Welcome back.
Yeah. Like, they made me do the app.
Did you not hear Pretty Bird's poem?
No, I did. I was going back trying to find a place. Haunted and ghostly past, bleeding into day through fissures, breaching defenses, desolation. I heard you talking about is this a certain type of poem?
That was Lockdown Mark.
Oh, okay. This is well done. You guys, I swear, everything's lately going on lists. You guys write.
Yeah,
it's funny.
Pretty Bird,
what?
You tend to like your darkness.
Oh, thank you. I'm just forgetting how much I love the word bedraggle. I was like, oh, look at me. You know,
yes,
it's a seldom used word. That is just lovely.
Oh, you remember that movie that came out called Bedazzled? Was it Bedazzled? Was that the one?
I can hear you now.
I made the most beautiful, lovely comment.
Oh, say it again.
You have every opportunity to say it again.
Okay, I really did. It was a beautiful comment, and I really want you to hear it. So where'd you lose me? When I yelled at Amadeus?
Yes.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Amadeus.
Okay. Well, what I was saying is that it feels like there's no belief that you're strong enough to say, I know you're lying, I know you're you know, I'm worthy, and I know I'm worthy. But there's only, you know, the white satin lies because this person thinks they're smooth enough and smart enough to lie in the open and believe it. So you just crawl into that desperation, let them take away the light because that's where you believe you belong. Because if the person loves you so much, why would they lie? Why would they do it so blatantly in the light? So you believe you're worth nothing. So you crawl into the darkness and into the night.
because obviously that's where you belong. Because those that love you would never lie to you like that unless you were that worthless. And that's kind of how I feel you put that person because of that despair. And so if you're loved and they lie, then obviously you were never loved at all. So that's what you stare into, that bleakness, that darkness. And there's the brilliant paper.
You certainly didn't lie because you made a lovely comment.
You're just pulling things out of my skin, woman. I don't know if I like drunk sleep. No. But yeah, there's it's funny because with that poem, with that comment, I wonder if you see it because it's there, or if you see it because you know I'm all, you know, black and white, right or wrong, honest or untruth, you know? Like there's but I am that is
it because
absolutely
I lived it.
Yeah. It's absolutely what's in there. That place that is hard to describe, veins you forever. Change it.
Yeah,
trust
absolutely. Beautiful piece.
And now it's a surprise poem that I picked for a sweet. She has no clue which one it is. I pulled out like five of them that are still on my phone that I just absolutely loved. And I landed on this one. So it's
right.
On the board for you.
Okay. All right, hold on. I will grab that right now. Oh, I like this poem too. Oh, wait. Gotta plug my phone. It only has 5% battery. Oh, no. Okay. Love me into bitterness. Whispers in the wind interrupt my silence. Shackled to pain, I break the chains of you. Teardrops stream down red cheeks. Memories of monasteries. Memories of monstrosities whistle melancholy tune from guilty lips. Say the Holy Trinity, die in peace tonight. The solitary train runs on one track, grinding and smashing brain cells, sad echoes of conductor wails. All aboard, welcome to feast on my hell. Silence has no golden tone, screeching sounds of a rusty trombone, broken nails on a chalkboard insist I conform to the norm. Alone in solitude, a time to reflect. Silence is an enemy left to breed insecurities in the depths of loneliness where I hear myself breathe. Let me scream at midnight moons, alive, confused, the wishes I choose, alone and listening to the rambling of doubt, convincing me to leave my pain forever. Here on earth, I will leave you, crushing the souls that love me into bitterness. End poem.
Well, I tell you, I almost want to say it sounds like somebody entertaining thoughts of suicide, but I don't know if I'd go that far. It's a beautiful piece. You tend to sneak up on me a lot, but I don't know. This was just I liked it like I like everything you write. I don't know. I guess this leaves me speechless, like everything you write. So, yeah. Hatter, what did you think?
Wow, this is deep. You know, alone in solitude, a time to reflect. Silence is an enemy left to breed insecurities in the depths of loneliness where I hear myself breathe. Damn. Yeah, how could you not feel that? That whole piece, man.
I do love a good damn from Hatter.
I get it.
And Pretty Bird.
So I picked this one because it moved me, because it's broken, because it broke me in places I'm already broken, and that's a beautiful, beautiful thing. Memories of monstrosities with the melancholy tunes from Guilty Lips. And it's a music that plays on repeat through that broken silence that, you know, screeches along that one track because you can't get that train of thought to change direction and the lights go down especially. And you can't unfeel it and it doesn't desensitize. It just gets deeper and deeper and deeper. And, you know, all aboard or welcome to feast on my hell because, you know, that's what makes it grow even deeper. And, yeah, it's all those god-awful rusty trombone nailed on chalkboard sounds, those sounds that stop you cold and keep you in a place that other people think is okay. But it's not okay. And you're forced to be there in all of the tortured reality of expectation or all those shoulds. And I hate that word should, because should shouldn't exist, because there is no should. People get through how they get through. They and conforming is the way. And it's a hard thing to be tied to expectations and being the strong one. And let me scream at midnight moons, alive, confused with wishes I choose over him. And those second guesses, those things, and it goes back, and I picked this one probably for so many reasons, and it just kind of touched on all the points on Rack's theme for tonight. It touched on dark versus light. It touched on do you trust your gut, and that semblance of conformity goes against every guttural feeling you have, and there is no right or wrong. You know, there you don't have a second to breathe to figure out where you need to be or want to be or the best place to heal. And, you know, and sometimes you just want to run wherever into those stars. You know, I will leave you crushing the souls that must be considered. And it is hard to see yourself turning bitter in slow motion because it's the last thing you know. And it's not who you thought you were. And so this bleeds, like it bleeds, like that lovely scene in Carrie where it just is covered on your skin, but then it like disappears like a horror movie where it just sucks right in and then stays inside every breath without the ability to exhale. So there's that.
Wow. You picked a good one. Really good.
One.
I haven't read this in a while. This is on probably my list of favorites. I don't have a lot of favorites of my own.
I can't even remember most of the stuff that I write, so I don't know what favorite. But we have Mr. Lee on the board, and he needs a reader too, I believe.
Would you do a Stiana?
Moi? Okay, yes, I could do that. I don't know if I can do it justice because man's got a voice, but all right. This is me reading for L. Lee. I miss his voice already. This is a false awakening. Tormented by Morpheus's nightly tryst, dreaded return of false awakening's twist,
existence suspended in vacuity mire, no escaping darkness, darkest night tire. Groping madly to reach the light, ere the clarity comes briefly in sight, blind eyes look behind and beneath for the ephemeral truth I desperately seek. Primal dread of no release, ever returning, never peace, seeking truth but never seeing, seeing all but what I'm seeking, imprisoned between the banks of leafy, ensconced where night and day doth meet, past the freedom desperately sought, death and darkness and shadows fought, to awake if even to life forsake, would I in my anguish gladly take, for sharing sojourn would at last pretend the fantastic limbo would finally end, to hypnose fuse my fervid prayer, to God's evil keep me there, in this twisted labyrinthine snare, twixt dream and dreams reflected where. And Paul.
Well, I kind of speechlessly.
The AN says, this is about what is called a false awakening when a dream seems to end, only to discover you are in another dream. So how horrible would it be to be trapped in endless dreams within dreams?
Yeah, that's an interesting nightmare in itself. Kind of like a riff on the Matrix. The dream within a dream within a dream. It's excellent piece. You did a fantastic job with this, Lee. I really enjoyed it. CP, what did you think? Before you...
I had to get the button. Sorry. I was on a button. I think it's a desperate fight, that desperate fight to find, life, to make sure that we have that dream and we're out of the complexities of nightmares. And, I think sometimes we run and run throughout our own days, and our days are so horrible. We're hoping that we're doing something right. We're doing what we want to do. And then maybe that all our accomplishments that, because sometimes we feel so much like we're failing and failing that, maybe what our real lives are nightmares and we're hoping we're in a dream. But, I love in Kant's where night and day doth meet, a path to freedom desperately sought, death and darkness in the shadow fought. So sometimes I think life is so hard that we're hoping we're actually in a dream. That turn and twist of daily life. I don't know. That's just kind of how I'm reading it, is maybe the life we live is a dream and we haven't woken up from that. And maybe we'll wake up someday and be able to relive what we're doing now. Maybe. But I think if you read it a different way, you could be saying that, when we sleep, that's our real life. And when we're awake, that's the real nightmare. I'm not really sure. Who knows when we're awake and when we're asleep? Maybe we don't know.
Great comment. Great. I'm pretty glad you read it.
Oh, well, I'm just going to say he's all up in my favorite mythological family, because you've got Karen or Sharon or whichever version of that word you want to how to pronounce it, and Hypnos, and they are both sons of Erebus and Nyx, which is my favorite pairing of all time. So Hypnos being the god of sleep, and Karen or Sharon, he's buried the dead. Yeah, and so, that hoping that it would end, you know, this fantastic window, you know, that he's in. But that last verse, the hypnos spews my fervid prayer to God's evil to keep me there in this twisted, labyrinthine, excellent word, snare. Another one of my favorites, dream and dream, flare. I love that. That's a little poetic for me, which is wonderfully poetic and dark and a little defeatist, you know, like it's there. It's just stuck between a dream and its own glaring reflection with no escape. And how elegantly written is that? How beautiful is that? I love that it starts with tormented by Morpheus's nightly tryst. Acid. And I'm like, how dare he? I absolutely love this. I may have stumbled over my tongue a wee bit. My apologies. But this was beautiful. I would love to hear it, Lee. If you ever record it, do send me a message, because this would be amazing. And that voice of yours that just kind of pulls us right through. Imprisoned between the banks of, you know what, that is a place to be stuck and staunch, where night and day just meet, just there eternally. Again, by the way, back to what Hatter said earlier, at that dusk and dawn, where all the creatures can, you know, break the veil as shadows move between realms. So this just kind of weaves the whole night together a little bit. If I would have known that, I would have saved it to the end. But we do have one more.
Did Hatter come back?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Yeah.
But I got to go.
Can you comment for Lee? Or did I hear, I got to go?
He said he had to go. Didn't he comment already? Maybe not, because I can't remember anything.
Okay. Night and day. I guess last one.
Hello.
Oh, no.
What?
Oh. Last one?
Yes. Do you want me to read that? Who's reading it?
Pretty Bird. Pretty Bird.
Pretty Bird. Did we lose Pretty Bird?
It sounds that way.
Oh, no.
That was the oh, no. Yes. And I believe she called in as host, so.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Let me go see. Groups, take voices. Let me see. Let me go see what's happening in the studio.
Yeah, well, only between the two of us, you're the only one that can see, so.
Oh, no. I'm the only one that can see.
You are. I'm worse than Mr. Magoo.
What's going on? No, you're a little more hands-on.
I wish.
Ha. You have a better voice, too. Stop it.
Magoo, you've done it again.
All right, let's. What's going on? What's going on? What's going on? Yeah, she's definitely not on there. Let's see. Okay, welcome to 727. Hello, 727.
Who's calling? It will not let me call back in as host.
All right.
It kicked me out and said, "You know what? You suck." That's what it said. It said, "You don't deserve to be host."
Okay, so we have one more call.
Yeah.
Well, it's still letting us.
Well, already then. Oh, watch. She got kicked out now, right?
No, she's still there.
No, I'm here. I just hit you.
Yes, we have one more poem. It is on the board. It is Dark Wall by Robert Pilecki.
Okay.
And I read Lee. You could read Robert.
All right.
If you don't mind. Just volunteer, yeah?
Okay. Dark Wall by Robert Pilecki. Built of words with no meaning that don't exist. Raining clouds shadowing mine from the ecstasy of nirvana. So it will never rest in peace. Wet, melancholy darkness bangs on the roof of the creed, makes hell of heaven. The wall of perception separates internally doomed, despaired heart from the endless love, disconnects mind from body, blinding mind's consciousness, burns body's wax wings. As it soars into the sun, the wall built of dark, surreal dreams, fantasies of the sickened mind, ravings of the deranged ghouls, encircling the perception of life, so you lose control of it. Are you ready to break down this wall? And poem.
Wow, excellent read. I caught that in the beginning. I mentioned perception versus sight, you know, because, you know, you can say seeing in the dark, but, you know, it's more a feeling of perception. And when you think of things in that regard, he did a great job illustrating that in this piece. I really enjoyed it very much. It's really an excellent job, heaven and hell and all the language that he used. I said he did an excellent job. And now I'm going to start repeating myself like a man stumbling around in the dark, I guess. I can't help myself. I really, and I was about to call him Lee too. Thank you, Robert. Oh man. Okay. I think I'm fried.
At least
I'm not an egg. I was at one point. I started out that way. Go ahead.
And then you got his.
What?
Nothing.
Go ahead, sweet. Can you comment for Robert, please?
Yeah, I mean, it's really a great poem. It's got excellent perspective. I mean, do walls hold us back or do they hold us in? And how do you soar one way or the other? You know, I love fantasies of the sickened mind, ravings of the deranged ghouls, encircling the perception of life, so you lose control of it. So depending on your perception, are you held in or held back, or, you know, which way do you go? How do you encircle that? I really like that. I mean, you lose control of your mind either way. Are you so controlled by the wall? Are you so outside of it? I mean, do you want to be the norm or do you want to be outside the norm? I mean, what are you doing? And I really like, you know, are you ready to break down this wall one way or the other? Don't be held in and don't be so out of control. I really liked it.
Yeah. Again, no politics, so we won't mention Donald Trump's wall. Pretty bad.
OMG.
Hey, that wall's been built in our country for years, you know.
As he mentions the wall. All right. My mind is those all Pink Floyd, by the way. Hey You, by the way, that like this is where this goes for me. And I'm all, you know, hey you, out there beyond the wall, can you hear somebody, you know, call out, can you help me? Or whatever those words are that I can't think of right now because it's horrible. My brain,
not the song. Get your pudding.
How can you have any pudding
if you don't eat your meat? Oh my goodness. Okay, so It took me like 15 years to understand what the hell he said, because the accent was thick and my mind just never went there. And back to Robert and this dark wall built of words that don't exist. Okay, so this is like the epitome of negative self-talk. Like, you know, here you are with, you know, you've got the possibility of love, but you overthink it, you overtalk it, you don't believe it could be true, and how could they ever love me like, you know, and whatever, because either you're unworthy or they must be broken or whatever it is that pulls you out of those moments that build that bond and into the hell that is the pit of darkness in your brain. And I absolutely love this wall of perception. And it's built of dark, surreal dreams and fantasies of the sickened mind. Well, you know what? I'm twisted and sick, and I admit it, and I am who I am. And, you know, while I would like to change things, guys, the chances that are not very likely. And are you ready to break down this wall? Why? It keeps me safe, damn it. And here's the thing. That's where walls are built. They are not built out of anything but fear. And so fear of being hurt, fear of repeating past pain, fear of hurting somebody else. So and then you believe all the lies you tell yourself because maybe there was the slightest little hint that they might be true a little bit at one point when you were like 9. And so everything thereafter that resembles that in the slightest makes it true now as an adult. And the mind is really good at doing that. And it's very hard to train yourself out of those unfortunate partial truths or partial misperceptions. And a lot of us don't really want to break down those walls. We'll break them down. We'll open up a window. We'll crack a window a little bit, let some air out, let some air in, you know, like reshift the dust and see if there's somebody out there that is unafraid to look in. And if they're still there looking in, maybe we'll open it all the way. And once they get a whiff of the stench and bile that we have surrounding us in our head, you know, if they still want to hang around, maybe we'll open the door. And if they want to step inside, maybe one day they'll coax us out a little bit, and those are the people we keep around. And but that doesn't mean that those walls disappear for all of the other people we have not yet trusted. Because you can't just all of a sudden trust people when you learn early on, and it's this continual life lesson that people suck, you know? And better to be safe than sorry. So you go on a person-by-person basis, and you don't break down the wall, but you do let people in. You do venture out. You don't have to be fully agoraphobic in the annals of your mind. But this is a wonderful depiction. It is like black stone with hard mud and like medieval towers of hell where you don't have to be chained in. There are no windows. There's no place to go. You're pretty much standing in your own filth, and that's your happy place, you know, where everything else is scary because you know this place. This place is torture. This place is painful, but it doesn't lie to you. But it hurts. It hurts. And it will always hurt, and there's comfort in that. So love lies. Love will trick you. Love will make you believe that you're better than you thought you were just to drop you on your face and find out you weren't even that good. And then you go back into your hole and try to build yourself up in the comfort zone where you have thrived. And it's a hard thing to climb out of because nobody really wants to live in that pit. But, you know, we know that pit very well. There's safety in that bench. And it's hard. And this was fabulous darkness. So I know this place well. I don't know if you picked up on that. It was awesome. That is that whole do you trust your gut question that you asked as part of the theme for the show. Well, what does your gut tell you? You trust your gut's what got you in the hole in the first place. So do you trust your gut? Maybe not. Maybe one day, maybe sometimes, maybe I'll try, you know? So, yeah, it was, So there's you know, psychology is just a mind word I'm not saying on here because it's PG-13, and it does, it is, you're damned if you do, you're damned if you don't. You're safe in your own shit, but is it better to be safe in a place that you hate than be hurt in a place that is unfamiliar and has proven to be unkind in its kindness? I mean, you can smile in both places and people will believe you. Neither one of them has to be true. You know? Where is the better place to be? Where most people will be like, in the sun, out with the people. Learn to trust a little bit. Go and put yourself out there. And I'm like, uh-huh, that's where murder happens. You know, mine, theirs, whatever. That's where murder happens.
And I know you don't do fungus, but fungus grows in the dark. Think about being out in the sun as opposed to being in the dark, you know, but yeah. So I guess that brings the night to a close. So what were there? There was about a dozen people that I should be thanking by name, but, you know, Robert and Lee being the last two. Let's see, we had Pretty Bird, we had Deb, we had Hatter, we had my darling Sweet Pea. How many am I forgetting now?
Writers or callers?
Well, I imagine we should be thanking both, which I normally do. And thank you for calling and spending time and hanging out and listening. And hopefully, I'm sorry?
You got Deb? Because I didn't hear it.
Yes, I said Deb.
He did.
Awesome.
I heard it.
Awesome.
I didn't. The person I didn't thank was the guy who also helped me a lot to make this happen. She actually put up the topic board for me and helped me get some stuff in the studio and helped me set up and gave us a wonderfully creepy poem, which, Sweet Pea, if you didn't hear it, oh, my God.
I did.
That was when you came on the scene?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Scared the hell out of me.
Yeah. Yeah, that was amazingly creepy. That was a great poem. And everyone's poem tonight was great and on topic, and you know, the darkness is welcoming like a warm blanket, I guess. Mm-hmm. Some of us more than others.
That makes you pee your pants.
That it can. It's funny because you said it makes you pee your pants, and that takes me to Friday the 13th, too, where she's hiding under the bed, and he finds her because she pees, and that right there was the scariest thing ever, and I don't think I've ever peed in fear from that moment on, because that's where murder happens.
The puddle. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
So who did I leave out? I think I.
I
now I'm embarrassed.
I
said you.
Who?
I said Sweet. I said my darling
Lee.
Sweet. Actually.
Lee.
I said Lee. I said Lee right
I
after I said
Lee.
Robert. I said Robert and Lee.
And lockdown marks.
Lars. I'm sorry, Lars. Yes. Lars with the beautiful form poem.
With
yeah.
A C.
I'm sorry.
Lockdown Lark. Lark. Kind of like the bird. Yes.
Oh, I apologize. See, that's what happens when you can't read. Reading is fundamental. Thank you, Lockdown Lark. Yes. thank you, everybody. Seriously, I make jokes. I make light of things. But in all seriousness, everyone that wrote, I do greatly appreciate it. You know, I get to stand here and play comedian and play it, you know, being a radio host, and I have people like Pretty Bird that help me in the background and let me stand here and look pretty and do nothing but yap. And it's really not that hard. You guys do all the heavy lifting and you guys make it happen. So thank you all for participating, and thank you, Deb, for making this possible, and the rest of the board as well, which I guess that's you, Hatter, and you. By you, I'm pointing at me, and nobody can see me because I can't see.
You can't even see your finger.
Yeah, exactly. I think that, but odds are they're up my nose. So, yeah, thank you,
okay.
And Hatter and AP Taylor. And the rest of the board for making it possible, and let's throw in a thank you for Kevin, just because he gives us a place that's where all this poetry is living at the moment. But you know, it's you callers and you writers that make it happen, and you know, we're just incidental. So thank you everybody for participating and letting us have our fun.
Thank you for having us, darling.
Absolutely, and for the wonderful prompt.
It was my pleasure.
I do believe it's
because
the pleasure is ours.
I can't see you next time, but hopefully we'll be back.
Yes. So until next time, good night, guys.
Good night.
Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio. Goodbye.
Yeah, I'll shut us off out of there, too.